the Lord fights battles, and that when, as the Lord fights these battles, he comes back to the ancient city, or we could say he comes back to the gates of heaven. And the cry is to open up the gates so that the King of Glory, so that Yahweh Sabaoth can come in.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of Armies, or the Lord of Hosts. Before we begin our message today, we've been offering the invitation for you to join us in our apologetics class, which begins the first Thursday in April and runs for 6 weeks. The class is from 7 to 9 each Thursday evening. It is a Zoom class, and we will be dealing with how to defend the attacks that are coming against the Christian faith. Attacks on the Bible, attacks on the person of Christ, attacks on creationism, attacks on the existence of God. Join us for the class. Stay tuned, and we will give you information how you can connect with us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program to find out how you can register for the class. Now, we want to join the first half of the message, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of Armies. Good morning, saints. We're continuing today dealing with the names of God. This morning, our journey takes us to Yahweh Sabaoth, which is the Lord of Hosts. We're going to begin by reading Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. And we read that it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. As we consider this passage, we see that the call is to the ancient gates of Israel. The picture here is that of a king who has come back from battle victorious. And as he stands before the walls of the city, in particular the gate of the city, somebody shouts out, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates." And so the idea is that open up the doors so that the king who just won the battle, the victorious king, can come into the city. So that is the backdrop of this particular passage. But you may notice that it says in here, because we can ask, who was the king? You know, was the king Solomon? Was the king David? Was the king Josiah? Was the king Hezekiah? You know, who was this king? And so we are not left to guess who the king is, because it tells us right in the text, the Lord of Hosts, he is the King of Glory. And so we realize that the Lord fights battles, and that when, as the Lord fights these battles, he comes back to the ancient city, or we could say he comes back to the gates of heaven. And the cry is to open up the gates so that the King of Glory, so that Yahweh Sabaoth can come in. And so today, we're talking about the Lord of Hosts. We're talking about the God of the armies. Now, as we consider this word or this phrase, Yahweh Sabaoth, this word Sabaoth is very interesting. It is used in the Old Testament about 250 times. That we see this word Sabaoth appear in the Old Testament. Now,
The word actually means to assemble. Wow. Sabaoth. It means to assemble. So how do we connect that to the Lord? Well, when you bring down that holy name, that name Yahweh, the self-sufficient God, when you bring that name down and you couple it with Sabaoth, it refers, oh, somebody help me this morning. It refers to the God who can assemble angelic beings together to do his bidding. Let me run that by you again. That's so nice, I got to say it twice. That it means to assemble, the word Sabaoth, to assemble. And when it's used in conjunction with the word Yahweh, it refers to the God who can assemble together angelic beings to do his bidding. And so this lets us know that he is the Lord of the armies, that when the angelic host comes, and as we read the scriptures, we see that there are 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands and thousands of angels. That there's so many angels that we can't even put a number on them. Yet and still, there is a God who can bring them together. That they might be worshiping in one place, serving in another place, doing this in one place, but there is a God who can bring them together. And that is Yahweh Sabaoth. I'm reminded of when Jesus was in the garden and the soldiers came to take him. And Peter, wanting to defend Jesus, pulled out a sword and cut off one of the soldiers' ears. And Jesus told Peter, put up your sword. Put up your sword. He said, if I wanted to, I could pray to my Father and he will send 12 legions of angels. What was a legion? A legion in the Roman army was 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. And so what Jesus is saying that, hey, these soldiers have come to take me. These soldiers have come to do battle against me. But if I wanted to, I could cry out to my Father, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, I could cry out to him and that he would send in the blink of an eye 36,000 to 72,000 angels to come and do his bidding. Oh, this phrase, this concept, Yahweh Sabaoth. And so I asked the question, do you know him? Do you know him as Yahweh Sabaoth? Do you know him as the God who can garner myriads of angels to do his bidding? See, we've been talking about the names of God. We talked about Yahweh Roy, the Lord that goes on shepherding. We talked about Yahweh Jireh, the God who provides. And so we've looked at him in those two aspects, and we've asked the question, do you know him like that? Do you know him as your shepherd? Do you know him as the God who can provide for you? So today I'm asking you, do you know him as the one who can fight your battles? We're going to look at four situations this morning, and we're going to see how Yahweh Sabaoth showed up in each one. And so the first one that we want to look at as we refer to the Old Testament is Hannah. And Hannah knew Yahweh Sabaoth as the one she could turn to in the time of sorrow. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see that Hannah was being harassed because she was barren. She couldn't have a child. And her husband was also married to another lady. And the other lady began to harass her. The other lady began to make fun of her because she could not bear a child. And we see in chapter 1 and verse 8 that Hannah was grieved. She was grieved in her spirit because of the harassment that she was facing. Have you ever been harassed before? Has anybody ever made fun of you? Has anybody ever talked about you and made you feel bad? Well, this is the case that we see here with Hannah, that she was being ridiculed, that she was being talked about because she couldn't have a child. And her heart was heavy for two reasons. For one reason, because she was being harassed, but the second reason was because she couldn't have a child. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verse 11, look who she prays to. In verse 11, it says that she went before the Lord and she wept as she prayed. And she vowed a vow and said, okay, now look, watch this now, watch this. She could have prayed to Yahweh Jireh. She could have prayed to Yahweh Rapha. She could have prayed to Yahweh Shammah. She could have prayed to Yahweh Shalom. But look who she prays to. Look specifically at Hannah and who she prays to. And she said, O Lord of hosts, O Yahweh Sabaoth, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and forget not thy handmaid, but will give thy handmaid a male child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And we see in chapter 1 in verse 20, it said, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked of him of the Lord. That God went before her. Now notice what God does. Here she was grieving. Her heart was heavy. What does the Lord do? The Lord went before her. She prayed to the Lord of hosts. He went before her, and what did he do? He touched her womb, and she was able to have a child. And not only that, but you know what else the Lord did? He stopped the mouths of her enemies, right? Because they could no longer ridicule her. They could no longer make fun of her because the Lord had fought. Whew, the Lord had fought the battle for her. Thank God. Have you ever been, as I said before, have you been grieved? Has your heart ever been heavy because of some opposition that you received? Learn the lesson from Hannah that you can go and notice she prayed specifically to the Lord of hosts, and the Lord of hosts heard her and went out and fought the battle for her. I think of a lady that we all have heard about at some point in time, Corrie Ten Boom, who was in a German concentration camp. And, you know, she was just victimized in so many ways. And yet and still, while people around her were getting bitter and getting upset, that she kept her focus on the Lord. And the Lord got her through that. And we know that after she got out of the concentration camp, that God used her all over the world to be a witness for him as to his saving power, as to his grace, as to his strengthening power. And that when she was in that camp and all those wicked things were going on around her, she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord helped her to get through. Who was she praying to? She was praying to Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord, who is the one who fights our battles. The second person that I want to talk about who knew him as Yahweh Sabaoth would be Samuel. And Samuel knew him as the one who rights all wrongs. Have you ever been done wrong in your life? Has anybody ever taken advantage of you? Oh, as I think back over my life, I can think of many times that I felt like I was taken advantage of. And you know, I wanted to lash out and I wanted to get revenge. But when we realize that God is the one who rights all wrongs, God is the one who goes before us and fights the battles, that we can take confidence and peace in knowing that he will fight the battle for us. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 25 that when Israel was in the wilderness, they came to a certain place where they ran into the Amalekites. And they wanted the Amalekites to let them through a passageway. But the Amalekites actually attacked them. Now here, God had called them out of Egypt, and God was leading them through the promised land. And we have the Amalekites that came in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and attacked them. And we see in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 16, the Lord swore that he would take vengeance on them. He said, what? You mess with my people? Look, watch this. I called them out of Egypt. I guided them through the wilderness. And you mean to tell me you're going to mess with my people doing the things that I told them to do? God said, oh, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back. And we see in 1 Samuel that God called Saul to get the Amalekites back for what they did. Now, this happened hundreds of years ago. And God said in 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 2, well, let's look at verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee as king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. So who's speaking? Not Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is present. Not Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Not Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. Look who's speaking. Thus saith Yahweh Sabaoth. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now, see, God got a good memory. You know, we might forget. And, you know, it's like the lady who they asked her, does she ever think about the hereafter? And she said, I think about the hereafter all the time. You know, every time I go into another room, I ask myself, what am I hereafter? Right. So we forget. Right. We forget. But God doesn't forget. And God remembered what the Amalekites did to Israel when they were in the wilderness. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. And then God tells him to go down and take care of the situation. God will see to it that anytime that we've been wronged, God will see to it that he rights that situation. Oh, my friend, in Romans it tells us, don't take vengeance, but let God take vengeance, because he can do it perfectly. He can do it in a way that we can't do it. And, you know, the thing is that I like about this concept here that we see in this idea that he rights all wrongs, that God saw what the Amalekites did. He saw what they did to Israel. And God sees it. When people do us wrong, God sees it. You know, I heard the story about a burglar, and he broke into this house, and there was a parrot, and the parrot kept saying, Jesus is watching you. Jesus is watching you. And the burglar kept on doing what he was doing, ripping the house off, and the parrot said, Jesus is watching you. Jesus is watching you. And finally, the burglar stood around and said, why don't you just shut up? You know, Jesus is not here. And he said, Jesus is watching you. And over in the corner was a big Doberman. And
the parrot said, "Sick him, Jesus." and the dog came after the burglar. So God is watching. and sometimes, you know, we don't even have to say sick him, because God is going to get him. Just like that Doberman, you know, got the burglar. You know, God is watching, and he's going to take the vengeance. He's going to right the wrongs. We just have to put it in his hand. The third situation was David. And David knew God as one who would fight his battles. He realized that the Lord was the one who would go before him. And we all know the story about David and Goliath and how Goliath was out there. And I like to go back to a term back in the 70s, right? He was selling wolf tickets. You know, and when I talk about wolf tickets, you know, that means he was bragging about how great he was, right? And challenging people. He was challenging the armies of God. And the Israelite army, you know, they looked at him and they wondered, you know, who's going to stop this fool, right? He's out here. Nobody can beat him. You know, he's a 9-foot giant. We don't even have anybody that can contend with him. And so David's dad sends him to the field with some food for his brothers. And as he comes to feed his brothers, he sees Goliath out there, as I said, selling wolf tickets. And he said, you know, who is this guy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that taunts the armies of the living God? And David's brother said, look, why don't you just go on back home? And David said, isn't there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a God that we need to stand up for? Is there not a God that we need to speak up for? And so David challenged the giant. And as he challenged the giant, you know, he met him in the battlefield, on the battlefield. And notice what David says in chapter 17. And it says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Whew. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And we don't even need to go read the rest of the scripture, because we know what happened, that David let the Lord fight his battle. Now, yeah, he did have a slingshot, right? But think about this guy over here. He got a sword, he got a shield, he got armor, he got a helmet, and he's 9 foot tall. What chance does David have with a sling? Not a whole lot of chance. And so we have to assume that it was the Lord of hosts, the one that David said. He said, you come to me with a spear and a shield, and I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies, the God who brings angels together to fight his battles. David knew him as one who would fight his battles. In the last example that we come to, we go to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we have the book of James, James chapter 5. And there were some poor people that were out in the field working, and they were being ripped off, and they were being abused, and they were being taken advantage of. And the people had no one to plead their cause. They had no one to intercede for them. But notice what James writes. James says that these people that were out there being ripped off financially, he said, behold, in James chapter 5 and verse 4. Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of Armies. If you would like an audio copy of today's message, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060 and request Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of Armies. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.